Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. And we're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Well, Happy New Year!
Yay!
We're finally in 2021!
Good riddance, 2020.
Oh, man. So, you know, things are starting to look, maybe look a little up, and Disney's making a bunch of plans this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of those plans seem to revolve around Marvel.
Yes. The year of Marvel.
We're going to call it the year of Marvel, I think.
At least on Disney Plus.
How many Disney Plus shows are coming out?
So many.
Like, too many to count, I think.
I said I need to, like, plot it all out on the calendar.
Basically, you gotta write in your daytime when you're going to watch the shows.
Exactly.
So you don't fall behind.
I can't do that.
But in that theme, we're going to talk about the origins of Marvel. We're gonna talk about all the movies in Phase 1 today.
Woohoo!
So that sounds pretty fun.
That does sound pretty fun.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked a lot about Marvel.
No. So we're going to kick off 2021 with some Marvel talk.
That sounds awesome.
But before we do that.
Yes.
We have a couple traditions here.
True. Brandon, what nerd thing are you currently into?
Well, I did receive an early Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't wrapped under the tree.
No.
And I knew about it, but we did purchase a Quest 2 VR headset.
Yes.
And I finally got around to setting it all up and getting it ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we started playing Beat Saber today.
Yep.
Which, if you don't know what that is, it's a kind of a rhythm game. You kind of dancing, but you're dancing with lightsabers to music.
Yeah, it's like if you mix Dance Dance Revolution and, like, Star Wars.
Yeah, so you're slashing away at blocks with your lightsabers while the music's going on, and it's kind of a good workout, and yeah, it was super fun.
It was super fun.
Pretty nerdy as well.
So. Yeah, definitely. I didn't take a video of you.
Uh-oh.
I took two videos of you.
Nobody wants to see that.
It was awesome, though. No, it was a super, super fun time. Excellent nerd thing. Pretty much most excited about that as well. I'll pick something else, though. Since it's the beginning of a new year, I've been, like, setting up my... I'm like into bullet journaling and day planners and stuff like that. And I've been setting that up pretty much like for the last couple of days. And mine this year is a Disney themed one.
Oh.
It is Stitch themed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, well, we'll go with that. And while you were slashing away with your lightsaber, I was also working on that as well as watching you beat the blocks.
You have to stay organized for the both of us. So
exactly.
Better write it down.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a teacher thing, I think. So, and I enjoy that. So, yeah, that's my other thing. Other thing that we always talk about, what you drinking?
Well, for the holidays, our local brewery, Brew Pub, came out with a new beer called Two Planks Hoppy Wheat Ale.
Yeah.
We're kind of like a little ski town, and so they the Two Planks are, of course, skis.
Right.
It's supposed to be kind of an après ski beer, and it tastes quite delicious.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It might be my second favorite beer
of
all time. Although my favorite beer is also by them. So
with the same wheat base,
It's the same base, which makes sense why this is my second favorite then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. I'm also drinking something from our local brewery. Shout out to Pass Beer.
Yeah, they do some good work. They're coming up on their first anniversary.
Kind of getting close. Yeah, they opened during the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, we're getting there.
Been rough, but they're doing well. So.
Yeah, they are. I am not drinking Two Planks. Mine is called Mountain Juice.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel kind of like I need to be sitting on a patio, but I just really enjoy this one.
It's a good
one.
Nice,
so.
I think it's an all-season beer.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
So, both drinking local beer. And then the other thing that we just want to mention, we don't have any shows. There's no Mandalorian out right now or anything like that, but we are 11 days away from WandaVision.
Oh, that's...
Speaking of the year of MCU.
Exactly. It's coming quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
11 days to WandaVision. So excited.
That's going to be here before you know it.
Yep. And that's on my calendar, my planner
of course.
That I just made.
Good. Stay organized.
Yes. And that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update. Okay, I actually have a couple news items for top of 2021.
Okay.
So have you heard of the Ratatouille, the TikTok musical?
No.
Okay.
I am way too old for TikTok.
Yeah, me as well. I don't do TikTok, but...
And the snappy chats and your TikTok-ing and all your weird... Oh. Stick to my VR and computer stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, there is Ratatouille the TikTok musical, and it was a fundraising effort.
Okay.
And in case you couldn't figure out from it being the TikTok musical. But they premiered on TikTok, in case you couldn't figure it out.
Oh!
Yeah, on New Year's Day.
It'd be weird if it was like on Twitter or
right?
something.
Right? Weird.
It'd be a strange title. Yeah. Okay.
It premiered on New Year's Day, and it has already raised over $1 million for the Actors Fund.
Oh.
Which was the, yeah, what it was going for. And tickets continue through this weekend, but of course, we are releasing this on Monday, so I don't think they're going to be available anymore at that point. So, 1 million and climbing is the idea here. Yeah, so that's kind of a
Actors have had it, like, we're not talking about the millionaires sitting there in their million-dollar mansions.
No, these are stage actors.
Singing Imagine.
Yeah.
no, these are like your lower-tier actors that are living gig to gig and they're having a tough time.
Yeah, so we have the stage actors have had a not a great year.
No.
And so this is going towards the Actors Fund. So yeah, I don't know if you have access to TikTok. Maybe you've seen this and you can let us know what you think if you have, because we will not have seen it because we're old.
They just sing about like
cheese. I don't know.
Cooking chef stuff or...
I don't know. I'm like on Instagram and stuff like that. I've seen people talking about it, but of course, since I have no idea because I'm not on TikTok.
Interesting.
Yep. And then my other thing was, you know how Shop Disney in 2020 had the main attraction where they had Minnie Mouse merchandise every month?
Yep.
So the one coming out for 2021, which is gonna drop any day basically next couple weeks, is Stitch. It's all Stitch themed, which is handy. I have a Stitch planner. 2021 is the year of Stitch, but it's called Stitch Crashes Disney. Do you remember when Lilo and Stitch first came out and they had all the trailers about it, and it would be like this classic Disney scene? Like my favorite was Beauty and the Beast dancing in the ballroom, and then it shows Stitch like climbing along the ceiling and he crashes the chandelier on them.
Vaguely.
Yeah,
vaguely.
And it was a series of trailers. That's how they promoted Lilo and Stitch. So I was getting serious vibes from flashbacks from
that. It's a good concept. That's fine.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people love Stitch. He's not, you know, my very favorite or anything like that, but this is kind of exciting for them, I think.
Yeah.
So if you are at all into the monthly Shop Disney merch, you're probably interested in that.
Get your credit cards right.
And the virtual lineup is nuts.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to our main topic for today.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head. It's just content.
Oh. Ah.
Disney A grab bag. So like you said at the top of the show, we are talking MCU Phase 1.
Yep.
All right. So let's just run down, first of all, what is included in that.
Yeah.
And then let's go movie by movie a little bit more detail. Okay. So we have in this one, six movies are included in this. It starts with Iron Man in 2008. That same year, The Incredible Hulk came out. In 2010, there was Iron Man 2. 2011, we had Thor, and then Captain America, the First Avenger. And then Phase 1, the one that kind of ends it all, the big one, is Marvel's The Avengers, which was 2012. It is crazy to think that that was actually 8 years ago now.
Yeah, it's now a classic, I guess.
That is crazy. So do you want to just like brief comments each one?
Yeah, let's go through the list release order and just talk about them.
Okay.
Because that sounds like fun.
So just right off the top here, before we get too far in it, the first movie that came out was Iron Man in 2008, and it was directed by Jon Favreau.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to our last episode when we talked about Mandalorian Season 2, you have a theory.
I do.
About how Vince Vaughn saved Star Wars.
Exactly.
So Vince Vaughn also, if you listen to the episode, is responsible for giving us the MCU. So if you haven't heard that episode and you want to know what I'm talking about...
It's an ironclad theory. it's just the truth.
So thank you, Vince Vaughn, for saving Star Wars as well as giving us the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jon Favreau.
But mostly Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
If you didn't have Vince Vaughn, you wouldn't have Jon Favreau.
Right.
So there you go.
So I just wanted to do that nice connection to our last episode.
Okay,
Iron Man.
So Iron Man. Take your mind way, way back to 2008.
Way back.
Like, that was a long time ago now.
That's also crazy that that's a long time ago, by the way.
Yeah, but superhero movies were kind of out of favor at this point.
Yeah, we had the Spider-Man movies before that, and Batman. We always had Batman movies.
Well, yeah, but you had your Spider-Man movies, and they kind of crashed and burned.
Yep.
And you had Batman, Tim Burton Batman, mm-hmm. earlier on, like 20 years before that. Then they started to crash and burn, mm-hmm. and did their weird stuff with the bat nipples. And then a couple years before that, or before this,
mm-hmm.
Batman Begins came out.
That's right.
And it was like, superheroes are dark and gritty and yeah. And the sequel was coming out this summer, 2008.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same year.
Yeah, same year. And that was the big hype.
So basically that was the year of the superhero movie.
Basically, yeah. Okay. Big superhero renaissance, mm-hmm. start right there. But they took Iron Man in a little bit of a different direction.
Totally.
They kind of brought it the fun back, right?
Mm-hmm.
They thought maybe that like this serious tone was going to be what saves the superheroes, but they proved that they can still be fun.
Yep.
And watchable.
Can we just talk before we get any further about the casting of Iron Man for Robert Downey Jr.?
Well, you can give all the credit in the world to Vince Vaughn. I mean, Jon Favreau, but clearly Robert Downey Jr. made the MCU work.
When we're talking about, let's go for like a more lighthearted note and everything like that, I cannot imagine anyone else playing that role. And the casting is so significant for these characters because we see them again and again and again. And I think we'll probably talk about that with the Incredible Hulk next. But Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark set the tone for the entire cinematic universe.
Yeah, and it's like picture perfect casting. He's not really acting.
No, I'm pretty sure they just like gave him a different name and a suit. I think it might actually be his outfit.
That smarmy, snarky attitude. That's Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. Like if you see him in interviews, he may be putting on an act all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but like his outward persona, that's him.
Yep, that's his public persona is just Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically they just gave him the Iron Man suit. I'm pretty sure his regular wardrobe as Tony Stark is actually like just from his closet. I think that's just who he is. I think great casting on that. Iron Man is, of course, when we get to know, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else as well. And we get to know these other characters we're going to see again and again and again. But it completely changed the tone of what a superhero movie was.
Yeah, like superhero movies started off as fun. If you watch the old Superman, Christopher Reeves,
right?
Those were fun, and that was big and popular, mm-hmm. then. But like they were moving towards this gritty style, right? So that was interesting. And the other thing is, people might forget that Iron Man wasn't that well known of a character. That it was like Marvel had gone through the bankruptcy and all that, and had sold off their good characters already.
Who did they sell off that would be, like, a good character that... Like,
well, Spider-Man, of course, is the biggest of the big. Mm-hmm. And then you have your X-Men and your Fantastic Four. Those were their top properties.
Right.
And so Iron Man was a notch below that in the public consciousness at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of, like, developed this B-list character into the mainstream.
Yeah.
And it worked somehow.
Like, yeah.
It exploded.
Talk about... box office smash hit coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, also the other thing with Robert Downey Jr., not to belabor the casting conversation here, was he wasn't particularly, you know, A-list at the time either. I mean, he was known, but he had had some troubles.
Well, he had his personal problems, which had derailed his career
completely.
He was not getting cast in anything. They knew he was a good actor. Mm-hmm. But
well, no one was going to go near him because of these other things. And then they cast him for this and basically completely reinvented.
And now he's like persona. One of the most bankable movie stars going at the moment. So
much so that he can make, what was that, Dr. Doolittle?
What?
We did not see that. But basically, it still made money because you put him in it. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Same year, which I found interesting. Incredible Hulk comes out a couple months later. What do you want to say about this one?
So, yeah, this is definitely one of the stumbles of the MCU.
Yeah.
Almost derailed it before it got going.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't mention about Iron Man is one of its main strengths is the villain, Obadiah Stane in Iron Man, his colleague, his dad's friend or whatever, mm-hmm. that was kind of like helping run the company at the time, was a really good villain.
Right.
The MCU kind of doesn't really have those very often.
Right. So I just want to talk characterization here for just a minute. And we can be more specific when we go through these. One thing I love about Marvel, and I mean, like, I didn't grow up reading comic books or anything like that. Like, I watched the Spider-Man movies. Like, I knew those ones and everything. But the strength of the MCU, having discovered it now and then, like, going back later, is in its characterization of its heroes. Mm-hmm. That you have round characters. You have flawed characters. You have very, very human superheroes. And I think that is what is so strong about these stories. They don't really care about the villains as much.
No.
It's like all their effort is on the heroes.
It is a little unfortunate. A good villain can make...
Totally.
A very interesting movie. But, yeah, so Incredible Hulk gets that off to a start of the terrible villains.
Right.
Bland, boring... We go back to casting, like your point was.
Yeah.
Edward Norton is a great actor.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. There's rumors about him being difficult to work with, but that's beside the point.
Right, right.
He is not really the right fit for Bruce Banner.
Which is interesting, because I adore Bruce Banner and the Hulk. Like, that one of my favorite characters. Definitely one of my favorite characters. And I like Edward Norton. He's a great actor. And actually, if you look at him and you're thinking, okay, like kind of nerdy scientist,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be a really extreme change to the Hulk. He kind of looks the part. He doesn't really, like, it doesn't fit personality-wise, though.
Ed Norton has a underlying arrogance that
right.
isn't Bruce
He's
Banner.
He's not fumbling and no. awkward no. and like...
Yeah.
He's just, not adorkable.
exactly. So, yeah, it doesn't really work. The love interest is terrible. Liv Tyler, you forgot about her, didn't you? Yeah.
I forgot it was Liv Tyler. I remember when we watched, and you know what? I had seen it before, and then when we rewatched it, that was a long time ago now. But even then, I was like, oh, I forgot Liv Tyler was in this. And then I forgot again. And I actually like Liv Tyler.
Yeah, but she has nothing to do in this movie. And no.
It's really awkward, forced. Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. No, so basically the only good thing about this movie is the fact that we get a good post-credits scene that becomes the MCU staple, and
mm-hmm.
and we get Nick Fury introducing us to... No?
No, we get Tony Stark introducing us to it.
Oh, he's in the next one, that's right. Yes. I got the two confused. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about making that my trivia, but I figured we'd talk about it during this anyway.
Yes.
Yes, it is Tony Stark shows
Robert up. Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. shows up and pitches this whole idea.
Yeah, he's like, so we're thinking about putting together a team, or I don't remember how it's word for word, but something to that effect.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first inkling we had that these things were all gonna mush and overlay and,
well,
yeah.
You never had movies that crossed over, like, the big crossover movies that I can think of is, like, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, where they had all the Universal monsters come
right.
in. Like, this was not a thing that's done. Now they're trying to copy the MCU all over the place, which is not really working either. But, yeah, this was mind-blowing to people.
DC.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah,
so,
what a cool concept. Mm-hmm. And talk about it established this, like, post-credits scene, like, big reveal. Like,
yeah, you
got to
stay for the credits now.
Yeah, you do. Mandalorian season 2.
Do you have to pee? Too bad.
And you know what really sucks? How long was those, like, Last Avengers of Infinity War and stuff like
that?
Well,
a lot of people are involved in making them, so the credits are very long.
Okay, so we had the Incredible Hulk. It was right after Iron Man 2, like a couple months later, and so you had this incredible high, like, success out of left field, followed by...
Yeah, and Hulk, of course, is a much well more known character.
Yes. And probably a much cooler character, quite frankly, like, to start off with.
Yeah.
Like, when they're like, this is what we're going to work with in this world.
He's very popular.
Yeah.
But also, it is a little tough to work with the parameters of the character as a hero. Like, this green rage monster doesn't really work. Like, he's going to save the day, but he's angry and dangerous. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I want to see a really well-done Incredible Hulk movie.
Good luck.
I know. I have seen a really well-done Incredible Hulk character... And I had my woohoo moment So maybe that's all I'm ever going to get. Yeah. Let's go back to Jon Favreau. Not Vince Vaughn. So a couple years later, we have Iron Man 2 comes out. Probably smart, because if they were going to keep going with this MCU thing, they had just left the Incredible Hulk and...
Go back to old reliable. Yeah,
let's go back to Iron Man. Okay. What did you think of Iron Man? Like, what do you want to say about Iron Man 2 here? I know we are at the end going to talk favorites and stuff like that, so I know you don't want to go too far.
I can talk about it, though. Well, so there's been 3 Iron Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably the worst one. We have... What the strength of the first one with the strong villain and
mm-hmm.
that cool story is the super weakness. We get a couple muddled weak villains and whip guys talking in his crazy accents. And this was right after he was in that Fantastic the Wrestler movie.
He was coming
off that. And I was just horribly disappointed. Yeah. But we do get to meet Black Widow.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Very cool.
She kicks some butt.
Serious butt. I love Black Widow. So excited for that movie to finally come out a year later. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we get to meet her.
And mm-hmm. and we get our first major role recast.
Yes.
The change in War Machine.
Right.
Don Cheadle.
Right.
Gets put in. I like him a lot better in that role as well.
Yeah, I do like Don Cheadle in that, and I think that there was a lot they could have done with his character in the movies. Of course, you know, you have so many characters in those movies.
Maybe they should give him a show.
What a good idea. I was going to say, so I'm excited to see what they do with the show. You get a show, and you get a show, and you get a show.
Everybody gets a show.
So I'm excited to see what they do.
But everything else about the movie falls flat.
Come on, Jon Favreau, you can do better.
Yeah, he was kind of phoning it in on this one.
he was turning his eyes towards Star Wars.
He was
going,
dreaming.
Hey.
He was dreaming about fixing Star
Wars.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, next year, next summer, because now we've got MCU coming out all the time with summer. Everyone's excited. It was Thor.
Yes. Did Thor come out in...
Thor came out in 2011, and Captain America came out in 2011. But it was,
one
I
came
think,
out in May,
and
one
came out in
July.
End of June, beginning of July. Okay, so let's back up.
Okay.
Thor first.
Thor.
We're doing order for release, yes.
Yes.
Thor. I was kind of like, this movie looks really weird. And then I watched it.
Uh-huh.
That was the most ridiculous fun I had had in a theater in a long time.
Well,
it is not just because it's not just because of his physique.
Well, Chris Hemsworth is a fantastic looking dude.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, he is.
But so your point as a casual semi nerd, Thor was very out there character.
Mm-hmm.
You got this crazy blonde dude with his little winged hat.
Yeah.
Jumping around with his hammer, but he's also a Viking god somehow.
Totally.
How do you sell that to general audiences?
You cast Chris Hemsworth?
Well, that's good. That's a good step one. A nice set of six pack is a good idea.
Yeah.
The director, Kenneth Branagh.
Yes, that's right.
He's an actor as well, but he directed this one, and he's directed a couple Disney movies. He mm-hmm. did Cinderella live action
that's
remake as
true.
Well. But before this Thor movie, he was known as a Shakespearean guy.
Yeah.
He did stage plays and did quite a few movie...
Absolutely. I will always think of him in, like, King Henry and...
The Fifth, Midsummer's Night Dream or something. He did a bunch of Shakespearean ones, anyway. Much Ado About Nothing, I think he did one of those. So you bring that kind of, like, heightened
mm-hmm.
sense, and you cast Anthony Hopkins as Odin...
Like, what a casting surprise, I remember.
Yeah, so you just bring this elevated sense to this weird character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw him as a fish out of water onto Earth, and you get the comedy that way. And that's that's how you introduce him. And I thought it worked absolutely fantastically. The supporting characters are great, especially Kat Dennings.
I was gonna mention her too.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's hilarious, I think.
I was listening to something one time, and it was talking about like the unsung heroes who aren't heroes of the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, people like Happy, right? Mm-hmm. And people like, well, Phil Coulson, of course, was on the list. And all of these other characters.
He's pretty sung these days.
Yeah, yes. And yeah, she needs to be like front runner on that list because she is hilarious. Yeah, loved her. Love the astrophysicist.
The actor's name is Skarsgård.
Yes, he's Eric Skarsgård.
He's one of the Skarsgårds.
Yes. Like you said, the supporting actors are just... I like him, though. I mean, I've liked him. Yeah, I mean...
Natalie Portman's a bit weak as a love interest. I like Natalie Portman, but sometimes it feels like she doesn't care that much.
I felt like the love interest thing was kind of... I don't know. It wasn't even like they didn't have chemistry. It was weird pacing with it. And I think that's what did it. I like her character. I like, of course, I like a super smart woman forefront in this. And I think Marvel does that well. But as he just like loves her because she's there.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, the fish out of water, you know, latching on kind of thing. But then she's like, oh, okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
It seems
out of both of their characters,
it does.
Honestly.
It almost seems like there was a scene in between that got cut, where they went from, we're kind of getting along and talking, to like, you know what I mean? To like, now we're a love interest.
Yeah. And it goes back to the villain problem, partially.
Okay.
The main villain in this, of course, is the Ice King McGee, whatever, the Night King. No, wait, that's Game of Thrones.
The White Walkers.
I don't know. I don't know his name because who cares? He's useless. But Loki adds a very interesting wrinkle to the whole process. Keep your eye on Loki. Someone should give him a show. Brilliant.
What a good idea. You know what? Should come out in the spring. While everyone's like excited for changing, what with him changing shape and sides and alliances and stuff like that all the time. Someone should give Loki a show.
But yeah, Thor was my biggest surprise from Phase 1. Absolutely. But do you want to move on to...
Captain America, the First Avenger, I was so excited for.
Yes.
Because I love that time period, that style. I was excited to see what they did with, well, Agent Carter. And I was really looking forward to Captain America fighting Nazis. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was absolutely excited for a period piece superhero movie.
Right?
Captain America punching Nazis. That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing. Let's throw a superhero in the middle of, like, a huge world war and exciting, but also, like, they could have done such cool stuff with the story, and you hear how I'm saying they could have done?
Yeah, so if Thor was the biggest surprise, this was the biggest disappointment, potential-wise.
Right.
Like, it's fine to watch. You got some cool moments. Like you say, Agent Carter is just great.
Yeah, Hayley Atwell she's great. I like her.
Amazing.
One of my favorite...
Someone should have given her a show.
Man, what a good idea. Tommy Lee Jones, I actually enjoyed as, like, a weird secondary character.
Yeah,
in there
he
too.
Did
he
have
was
a,
fun.
He did have a little bit part in there. I forgot about the drill sergeant thing going on.
Because, of course, he's just a drill sergeant. And it's just him. They gave him a uniform.
that's true. He was pretty good in
it. One of my favorite surprise, like, fun scenes in there is before he becomes, Steve Rogers becomes Captain America, and he's scrawny little guy, right? And has, like, the little training thing, and he's running, and he says, there's a, Tommy Lee Jones comes out all gruff, because he's not a fan of Steve Rogers. And they've got the flag at the top of the pole. He says, no one's ever gotten it, but whoever brings it there can get a ride back with Agent Carter. And everyone is climbing up, and Steve Rogers is sitting there looking at it all and everything like that. And then he walks up and pulls the pin out of the flagpole, and the flagpole falls, picks up the flag, jumps in the Jeep. Loved it, because it was the moment when I actually cared about who became Captain America. Mm-hmm. Right? Before that, you're just like, super cheesy, you know, like, yes, he's going to be good looking, and he's going to have all these muscles, and he's like... you know, grunt, arg kind of facade to him, but it was like, no, this guy's actually witty, and he, like, yeah, I like him.
Some good characterization
there.
But we go back to the villain problem.
I know.
Once again.
I know.
This movie absolutely wastes Hugo Weaving in the villain role, Red Skull.
Yep.
It's just silly. It's worse than a Bond villain. Like, I don't... I
And I think Red Skull is, like, this... That could be this really cool villain.
He can be. Like, comics have done him well.
Could have been a really... Yeah.
As far as I know. But, yeah, it's just... I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. Punching Nazis should be the easiest thing to write in the world. And somehow, it's just kind of...
Yeah, yeah. But after... After him.
Well, so he crash lands his plane.
Yes.
Into the ice.
Yep.
And he's gonna leap forward into the future.
Yeah, our post-credit scene.
Yeah. And so all our heroes are kind of in the same neck of the woods now.
Yep.
And that brings us to the big one.
2012, Marvel's The Avengers comes out. All right. And that's the big one. That's what we've been building towards this whole series so far.
Well, it was a huge risk to build towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Movies barely can get made by themselves, let alone building this interconnected network.
Yeah, because what if it doesn't work and you just leave it hanging?
Well, yeah. What if you have a terrible movie about the Hulk and... Oh. Anyway.
What about your sequel on your super successful movie? Kind of falls flat.
So there was a little bit of stumbling blocks.
Okay.
But this was the proof that it actually did work against all odds.
Yeah.
You have all the heroes coming together. And of course, this is written and directed by Joss Whedon.
Yes, it is.
And putting his current personal and professional problems aside, the dude can write dialogue.
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to word this really carefully here. I am a huge fan of Joss Whedon's work.
Mm-hmm.
His work. Like you said, you got, like, putting aside...
Not Justice League, though.
Well, okay, that's... Yes, that's fair. But to this point, I was, like, a huge Buffy fan and Angel and watched Dollhouse. I mean, talk about Firefly and all this. Like, he is basically, like, in 2012 now, mind you.
Yep.
And he puts his name on it, and nerds, like... are pretty sure they hear the Hallelujah chorus going on here.
Like the hardcore nerds, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. He was always really high on my list previously. You know, the question, like, who would you sit down and want to have, like, a drink with or a coffee with or whatever? Because dude can write, right? And he gets to play with the superhero world.
Well, his strength was always having this ensemble because he came from TV.
Yep.
So he knew how to get these characters to, like, work.
Well, he did Toy Story.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he had an ensemble about toys, even. Like, he knew how to work that and let everyone have their moments to shine without it seeming really awkward or... Yeah. So he had this ensemble piece. Talk about a good choice for a director and writer here.
it worked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
You have everything... Big battle scene.
Oh, man.
You got the theme song to give you some goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have that shot.
With the camera. Oh, yeah. It's so good. You have my favorite moment, of course. I get my happy Hulk scene. Well, angry Hulk scene, I guess. But it made me happy.
Where he has no clothes on?
Well, that too. But I was thinking more when because he's always angry.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Don't think about it.
Care.
Don't think about it. It's cool.
I know it makes no sense, but it's so cool. And you get to see the transformation as he reaches. Oh, this great moment. Great, great cinematic moment.
And we have a cool villain. Because
they
bring back Loki, and he's got the weird gray areas, his Loki-ness going on.
Yep.
And it makes for an interesting piece.
Totally. Kind of villainous, kind of... And you get some funny moments in the middle of this big fight scene, and you get some crazy cinematic, like, violent, big battle going on. And yeah, it was very cool. You get the characters, some of them who make fun of themselves, even, and, like, it's just, was building...
Exactly. And the writing lets you have fun while still being serious. Like, it's not self-parody or anything like that. It's just you can have drama and comedy in the same movie. Yep. It's okay.
Yeah. It's hard to walk that line, but this movie really did it. So that was the end of phase one.
End of phase one, and it made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney was very happy with their endeavor.
Their acquisition of Marvel. Absolutely. Anything to add for this before we move on to favorite and least favorite?
No, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go least favorite first.
Okay, you go first.
So I was kind of torn. I have two that I kind of like were eh about. One was The Incredible Hulk and one was Iron Man 2, but I'm going to go Iron Man 2. The only reason is because I really love the Hulk. And I don't love this movie of the Hulk or anything like that, but it's the only movie we have of him. So I just had to give it to, and we knew Iron Man 2 could have been so much better than it was because of Iron Man. And actually I liked Iron Man 3 better too.
Yeah.
Than Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 3 has its own problems, but it's...
Well, it does. But if I'm looking at the three, I agree with you when you said that you thought Iron Man 2 was the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with you on that. And having come just from the high of Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2 was the most disappointing to me, I think. It had potential to be really good. So that one is going to be my least favorite. Because to me, it's very eh. It didn't even give me the Hulk.
Right.
Who I really like.
So I'm actually... for my least favorite, going to kind of grade along the same curve as you.
Okay.
I think probably the worst movie in this list is The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a bit of a pass because of the degree of difficulty they were working with. It was
right.
Still early on, and they were trying to start this whole interconnected
mm-hmm.
thing with some ideas and all that. But as far as wasted potential goes, Captain America...
Yeah, I figured you would.
...is just... a pit of despair,
yeah.
Potential-wise. Like, I can't believe that it where it ended up
at, yeah.
from where it could have been.
Totally.
It's just a yep. horrible disappointment to me.
I totally, totally give that one to you. I was thinking about that one, too, but I love Peggy Carter so much as a character
yeah.
that I had to be like,
oh,
no, that movie gets a pass just because of her, basically.
She's great. I wish it was a better movie.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But, yeah, I... totally believe that. It could have been, like, the coolest movie on this list. It ended up being most disappointing.
Definitely the most disappointing
yeah.
for me, yeah.
Yeah, no, I give that one to you. Totally. Favorite. I went first last time. What's your favorite?
Well, how can you not choose The Avengers?
Totally. I'll just say, right, I'm agreeing with you. That's my favorite,
like,
obviously.
How can you not? It's probably, like... the later Avengers movies maybe build on it a little bit, which
mm-hmm.
is just a trick on its own.
Yeah.
But this was the first movie of its kind. You got this huge superhero team
mm-hmm.
up, and you just like having a nerdgasm.
Oh, the whole time.
So, yeah, no, it's The Avengers.
Oh, 100%. I totally agree. The characters are great. The writing is great. I love Loki, and you get a lot of Loki, and you get him being like just... I mean, it's ridiculous, but I love the moment when Hulk just, like, smashes him around a whole bunch. Because it's like, yeah, that is actually what would happen.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, you get to play around, and
yeah,
it's fun.
Just,
yeah,
it's the writing is great, and you get these, like, crazy cinematic moments. I just, yeah, I love that movie. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely my favorite.
But definitely a special mention to Iron Man. That would be second place in this.
Because it started the whole thing.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, I would agree. Iron Man would be second place for me, even though it has a significant lack of Chris Hemsworth topless.
Mm.
Yeah. There's none of that.
Yeah. Doesn't have any Black Widow either.
Right? Man.
This is unfortunate.
Why do we like this movie so much? Oh, yeah. Tony Stark's awesome.
They should stop casting such ugly people.
I know,
roles.
Man. Anything to add on phase one here before we move on?
No, I just kind of want to watch The Avengers.
No,
again.
Kidding. What are we doing later today? I'll watch The Avengers.
Well, I think we have some live action remakes to watch
yes.
as well. So.
Yeah. Okay, we'll try and squeeze it in this week sometime. Mm-hmm. yeah, a couple years ago. What was... Oh, no, it was before... Was it before Infinity War?
Yes.
We watched Avengers... We picked out, like, the ensemble pieces to watch leading up to that.
We watched all of them.
Did we watch
we
all
watched,
of them?
We watched all 18 movies or whatever it was at that point. Yeah.
I knew we had watched them all leading up to something, but I couldn't remember if it was Infinity War or if that was...
Yeah, I think it was...
Endgame.
I think it was Infinity War.
It was Infinity War when we watched them all. It was Endgame when we watched all the ensemble pieces again leading up to.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So, in other words, we've watched Avengers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. We should watch it more.
Yeah.
It's good. So that brings us to trivia. You asked me some questions last time, and I am not too confident.
Oh. You're not?
No.
Why not?
Because they were Star Wars questions.
Oh, yeah. You kind of fumble up on those. I was trying to be nice,
you know
though.
What? They were fun questions. And even when I'm wrong, I appreciate it if I feel like I'm learning something.
Yeah.
Wow, that is an incredibly nerdy thing to say right there.
Are you a teacher?
I might be a teacher.
I don't know what kind of voice that was.
It was Yoda.
It was kind of like Yoda, but
like
not I wasn't
his...
even trying to do Yoda.
No,
but...
it was just weird. Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, let's go back to Mandalorian trivia.
Okay, so question one was, what was Luke's original name in the early draft of Star Wars? And you said... So,
like Hero Spaceman.
Excellent.
That was a ridiculous question, by the way.
It's actually a well-known piece of trivia.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay.
And it's kind of cool. But, yeah, apparently in the original script, before the many, 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 many changes that mm-hmm. Lucas made along the way, he was going to be Anakin Starkiller. Anakin, you might know as Darth Vader.
Right, yeah.
That was his name before he became Darth Vader from the prequels. And then Starkiller, they actually used as a little Easter egg in the sequel trilogy, Starkiller Base, as Death Star 4, whatever.
28, whatever. Yeah.
So yeah, cool, kind of cool piece of trivia.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so question two, how'd I do?
Well, this is what you said. Boba Fett. In his appearances in the original trilogy, in Empire and Return of the Jedi, when he becomes Sarlacc Snack, he's got a little decoration on his armor, on his shoulder. There's some braids.
Uh-huh.
What are those braids purported to be made out of?
Are they braided Wookiee hair? Aw, don't kill Wookiees.
Well, you kind of got there after the hint. A little bit.
Yeah, I think you should give me part marks because that was hard.
Yes, but apparently there was a Star Wars encyclopedia that said that the braids on his armor were Wookiee scalps.
Uh-huh.
I
didn't even know he had braids on his armor.
Well,
okay.
it is a little bit tough to see.
Okay.
And you will notice in Mandalorian he no longer has them when he recovers his armor. They're gone. So
yes,
I don't know, the Sarlacc ate them or
that's my guess.
Or he's like joined PETA. I don't know. But no more braids for Boba. We'll see if he talks about them in the book of Boba Fett. Maybe he'll be like, I miss my braids.
Yeah, Boba Fett. Someone should give him a show.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay. Question three.
The question three is, what was Mark Hamill's other famous role other than Luke Skywalker? And you said...
Joker.
And that, of course, is absolutely correct.
Thank God, because I said it with so much confidence, it would have been really embarrassing if I was wrong.
Yes. He does an excellent Joker voice. You can't tell that it's Luke Skywalker talking, because it sounds... He has the laugh down pat.
That was my bad Joker laugh.
Yeah, it was not great. I didn't watch a ton of the Batman animated series, but I did play the Arkham games.
Mm-hmm. And he does the voice for that, too.
Yeah, and it's really good. So, good for Mark.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool dude.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Another shout-out to follow him on Twitter if you're not already.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, he's great on Twitter. He's just a fun guy.
Yeah. He would be a very, you know, I was saying, like, who would be top of your list for, like, sitting down and having a drink with? He'd be a good one. I took Joss Whedon off my list.
Yeah. Well, at least you can add Mark Hamill.
Yeah, maybe I could add him to my list. My number one is Margaret Atwood, though.
Ah.
Yes, writing nerd here. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll add Mark Hamill to my list instead.
So, yeah, that was some pretty good Star Wars
trivia
there.
Yeah, that was hard. Okay, well, you know what? It's fine. It's my turn to ask questions now.
Okay.
So, we're going to start at the beginning of the MCU. And I mean the beginning of the MCU.
Vince
so at
Vaughn?
The very... Okay, the beginning of the actual cinematic, not the... Okay, at the very beginning of Iron Man, when we are introduced to this world, a very loud rock song plays. It sets the scene for the tone for the movie, for Tony Stark's character. And I want you to know... I did a quiz, and every question that I'm asking you, I got right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I thought that would be, these were fair questions that way.
Okay.
So name the rock song.
Well, see, it's funny. It's
It should be the Black Sabbath song, Iron Man.
I was going to say, and it's not Black Sabbath, Iron Man.
But it's not. It's in the same vein, though. Yeah. It's kind of heavy metal-ish. Is it an AC/DC song? Because he plays so many rock songs.
That's he does.
That's why I'm getting confused in my head. Cause
it's actually a great soundtrack.
Yeah. And he like literally pumps AC/DC in his big arrival in the Avengers. I'm stalling for time trying to think of what the song is, but it's not coming to me. We'll go with Back in Black. I don't know.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two. In the Avengers, we agreed that was the best one. We should know this. We've seen it the most. Natasha remarks to Clint that the Battle of New York was a lot like their time in...
Budapest. We've
said
been there.
That with confidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious just to find out what happened in Budapest in the Black Widow movie.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like their dynamic, by the way, Natasha and Clint. I don't know if I can say that. I'm sure when we talk about phase two and phase three, I'll say that many more times, but I really do. Your answer is Budapest, and you said it with confidence.
Yeah. It's a cool city, too, actually. Well, cities, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Two separate cities that are
connected. Yeah. That was the last time we went on a big trip before, the world started ending.
Yeah. Snuck it in under the wire. Well, not quite under the wire.
Well, no, because it was the summer before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question three. The first time we meet Black Widow is in the Iron Man movie. We discussed Iron Man 2. We discussed this.
Iron Man 2.
What is her name when she first introduces herself? And in what position is she employed?
Well, she's a secretary.
Okay.
I don't know what her name is.
Is it her real name?
I don't think so. I thought it was a pseudonym. I don't think it was Natasha. I don't know. I don't remember. I was not focusing on what she was saying at the time.
Can you hear my eyebrows raise, Brandon, right now?
What? Oh, come on.
Neither was Gwyneth Paltrow. I think she was not focusing on what she was saying either, but for a completely different reason.
Yeah. Oh, fair. You're going to tell me that you're listening intently to everything Chris Hemsworth says when he's prancing about with no shirt on.
Does he need CPR? I totally know CPR.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but you're saying secretary.
Yeah, she was employed with his company as like a secretary type person.
So this one, because there's two questions, I would give you like each one's worth half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you either get half or zero.
Well, whatever. I don't know her name. He calls her Red.
Oh.
It's a nickname. Yeah.
Well. Okay.
Because she has red hair, you see. It's a clever nickname.
He's so clever and witty.
Tony Stark, he's very clever.
Brilliant.
Very clever.
One of his geniuses.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you think Brandon is right or wrong about any of these, he said some with confidence. He didn't say anything for some other ones.
Meh.
You feel free to contact us on our social media. Brandon kind of runs the Twitter one. I kind of run the Instagram one. So if you want to make fun of him for being wrong, feel free to contact me on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. Find a link to his work at our website, disneyaa.wixsite.com/podcast, and you can also find us on social media.
Which is where you can make fun of Brandon for being wrong, or right.
Well, I got at least one right. Come
on.
You
think so?
We're Instagram at disneyaa.podcast, on Facebook at disneyaa, and Twitter at disneyaapodcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can hear and find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe. If you know someone who might like the podcast, please recommend us.
Yeah, and please do review us. We really like reading the reviews. Unless they're one-star reviews, and then you can email us directly.
Yes. Well, feedback.
Feedback is, direct feedback is very helpful.
Yeah, okay. So next week, we're going to dip back into an At the Parks episode.
We haven't done one of those in a few weeks.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of parks to talk about.
Because our home park is closed.
Yes.
Yes.
But we're feeling a little more optimistic for this year, so we're going to talk about maybe what's going to come opening in 2021, hopefully.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. All the fingers, toes, and everything crossed.
A little bit of speculation, mm-hmm. but there are building some things, yeah. and so we can talk about that. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So until then, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. So until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. How much have you had to drink?
I was just laughing. Okay.